Welcome to Syria the Truth. Our episode title for today is Qatar, U.S. Proxy in America's Terror War in Syria. By Phil Greaves. Global Research, July 1, 2013. A recent report in the New York Times, NYT, claims, through trusted sources, that Qatar began weapons shipments to opposition militants in Syria at the same time they increased support for al-Qaeda-linked militants fighting Colonel Gaddafi in Libya in 2011. Gaddafi was ousted, murdered in October 2011. One must assume that any increase in Qatari efforts to arm the militants in Libya were delivered long in advance of Gaddafi's ouster, meaning this anonymous shipments to rebels in Syria also commenced well before October 2011. This information again sheds further light on a timeline of events in Syria that have been purposefully obscured within mainstream media to suit certain actors' agendas, and to enable the false and misleading narrative of Assad killing peaceful protesters to become dominant in the discourse surrounding the Syrian conflict. As was revealed earlier this year, known by many for much longer, it has been Qatar at the forefront of efforts to arm and fund the insurgency in Syria. As the resilience of the Assad regime and the Syrian army prolonged the Syrian conflict far beyond the time frame the backers of the insurgency foresaw, more and more evidence has become available as to the exact nature of this U.S.-led proxy war, and the ideologies of the militants fighting it. In turn, timelines have constantly been altered, misinformed and manipulated to suit the desired narratives of actors who claim to be on the side of freedom and democracy. In sum, previous to the aforementioned NYT article, there had been no reports in mainstream press at least, of any arms shipments or covert state activity against Syria before early 2012 inches. Now that timeline has once again been revised, to at least the same time of an increase of Qatari covert policy in Libya, which would have necessarily come before the fall of Gaddafi in October 2011. The latest revelation in the NYT seems to be an intentional leak, designed to pass responsibility for the extremist-dominated insurgency currently destroying Syria onto Qatar's doorstep. Considering the timing of this report, and several others in recent mainstream media that have pointed the finger at Qatar being the main sponsor of the Syrian insurgency, it also begs the question, was there more to the Qatari emirs, Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani, and his trusted and longtime foreign minister Hamad bin Jassim Al Thani's recent departure and handover of power to his son Tamim than meets the eye? A slap on the wrist from the U.S. for Qatar's destructive foreign policy maybe? Who knows, it seems most knowledgeable Middle East analysts really have no clue as to why the emir chose to suddenly step down and relinquish power. If there is one message coming from this unprecedented handover in the Western press, it is this: what goes on in Qatar, stays in Qatar. The NYT cites a Western diplomat, anonymous of course, who states that Qatar punch immensely above their weight. They keep everyone off balance by not being in anyone's pocket. Their influence comes partly from being unpredictable. Again, this seems to be a desired caveat to remove culpability from Western actors, and is highly likely the same source that provided the leak on Qatar's covert actions. What is counterintuitive to the theory that Qatar acts of its own accord in such instance, is the fact that Qatar's military and intelligence apparatus is entirely built and run by the United States. Qatar and the US have held an intimate relationship on all things military since the early 90s. Qatar is also the forward operations center of the US Central Command, CENTCOM, and the US Combined Air Operations Center, CAOC. The US enjoys the luxury of the use of three airbases in the tiny nation of Qatar, one of which, Al Udeid, is the prime location of Qatari arms flights to Syria. Considering this close military relationship, it would be foolish to believe the United States would be unaware of Qatari covert activity, particularly when one also considers the broad and global spying and SIGINT powers we now all know the Pentagon and U.S. government have at their disposal. It should also be noted that Doha acts as a primary base in the region for U.S. diplomacy, as the Taliban can happily attest to. Furthermore, as covered extensively in a previous article, once Gulf covert arms shipments to Syrian rebels became public knowledge, the Obama administration made distinct efforts in the media to portray the CIA as the key coordinator and oversight of the shipments to allay concerns of weapons ending up in the wrong hands. The U.S., through the CIA, has been using its logistic, diplomatic, and military power to bypass international laws and help to organize a multinational covert arms supply chain to rebels in Syria. Furthermore, in a recent interview for The National Interest given by renowned former U.S. National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, a declared advocate of the U.S. policy of arming Osama bin Laden and fellow ideologues in the Afghan-Soviet War of the 80s, went as far as to openly admit the joint U.S.-Saudi-Qatari policy of orchestrating the Syrian crisis, but refrained from revealing an explicit timeline. My emphasis: in late 2011, there are outbreaks in Syria produced by a drought and abetted by two well-known autocracies in the Middle East, Qatar and Saudi Arabia. He, Obama, all of a sudden announces that Assad has to go, without, apparently, any real preparation for making that happen. Then in the spring of 2012, the election year here, the CIA under General Petraeus, according to the New York Times of March 24th of this year, a very revealing article, mounts a large-scale effort to assist the Qataris and the Saudis and link them somehow with the Turks in that effort. Was this a strategic position? Yet contrary to this long-revealed policy, the NYT claims, the United States has little leverage over Qatar on the Syria issue because it needs the Qataris' help on other fronts. For the NYT to claim the U.S. has no control of arms shipments from a key ally is disingenuous at best, outright propaganda at worst. Moreover, the CIA has been in direct consultation with Qatar on arms shipments, and who exactly those arms should be sent to, vetted, moderates, of course. As Qatari officials stated in this Reuters article from May this year, my emphasis, there's an operations room in the Emir's Diwan office complex, with representatives from every ministry sitting in that room, deciding how much money to allocate for Syria's aid, the Qatari official said. There's a lot of consultation with the CIA, and they help Qatar with buying and moving the weapons into Syria, but just as consultants, are we seriously supposed to believe that Qatar, a tiny resource-rich nation that is totally dependent on U.S. militarism and diplomatic protection, is acting of its own accord, without any U.S. assistance, right under the U.S. military's nose? The NYT report goes on to state, my emphasis, Qatar's covert efforts to back the Syrian rebels began at the same time that it was increasing its support for opposition fighters in Libya trying to overthrow the government of Muammar al-Gaddafi. The Obama administration quietly blessed the shipments to Libya with machine guns, automatic rifles, mortars and ammunition, but American officials later grew concerned as evidence grew that Qatar was giving the weapons to Islamic militants there. The Obama administration was fully aware of who Qatar were arming, and sending special forces to fight alongside in Libya. It was exactly the same variety of militants and extremist ideologues that are currently waging war upon the Syrian state. Islamic radicals had used Benghazi as a base since the very start of the Libyan Revolution, and the U.S. knew they formed the core of the militia Qatar were shipping arms to in an effort to oust Gaddafi. The Obama administration's concern of manpads falling into the wrong hands, a la Afghanistan, is belied by Obama's tacit approval of his Gulf allies' policy of allowing tons of arms, explosives and military materiel to extremist-dominated militia. A few manpads simply increases the likelihood of blowback upon a civilian target, and the consequent exposure, which is the Obama administration's major concern. As the NYT report states, one of the shipments of manpads that has entered Syria came from the very same former Gaddafi stockpiles of Eastern Bloc weapons looted by Qatari-backed militants in Libya. In summary, The current media leaks on arms shipments to Syria can be construed as the Obama administration attempting to build plausible deniability. The constant revision of the Syrian timeline also points to the retroactive smokescreen being applied to U.S.-led covert policies that have already been exposed. Indeed, this tactic of using client states to gain deniability of U.S. aggression is nothing new. The policy has provided the United States with the ultimate get-out clause through decades of subversion and aggression upon sovereign nations. If, as is the current trajectory in Syria, the militants that the United States and its clients foment, fund and arm, become an uncontrollable monster and fail to achieve the desired short-term objectives, the U.S. can simply disassociate and point the finger to one of its lesser allies. On this occasion, that finger seems to point directly at the former Emir of Qatar. One wonders if in 20 years' time U.S. diplomats will portray the same vacant regret for their role in the creation of Jabhat al-Nusra and fellow ideologues, as they do now for their role in the creation of al-Qaeda itself. As the United States continues its divisive and destructive policies to desperately cling to hegemony, the mantra of lessons have been learned is more hollow than ever. Phil Greaves is a UK-based writer-analyst, focusing on UK-US foreign policy and conflict analysis in the Middle East post-WWII. That's all, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good night and goodbye.